If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
I mean, I have some audio today from Scott Pelley in this interview he did with the New York Times, which is, I mean, it's actually hilarious when you hear him and the naivete that he's trying to, I guess, put out there right now. I'll get to that here in a few minutes. But, you know, this is one of the moments. There's so many. When you think about Scott Pelley's reporting and how biased he was, I remember the episode with Moms for Liberty, Tiffany Justice.
Being evasive. What ideology?
Parents send their children to school to be educated, not indoctrinated into ideology.
What ideology are they being indoctrinated into?
Let's just say, children in America cannot read.
They often dodged questions with talking points.
You're being evasive.
21% of Hispanic students are reading on grade level.
You're being evasive. What ideology are the children being indoctrinated into? What is your fear?
I think parents' fears are realized. They're looking at these books where sexual discussions are happening.
So I can go on with that, but you heard the tone. Now, I would have respect for that form. That's like Mike Wallace journalism, right? Where he's kind of, he won't give up on asking the question. But they don't do that at 60 Minutes outside of with President Trump or conservatives. I mean, I believe, and Tiffany Justice is here, she's going to join us for a few minutes to reflect on the firing of Scott Pelley. I was always kind of wondering, Tiffany, why you guys did that in the first place, just because of the reputation, but there's no doubt that you got a hit job out of that, right?
Yeah, that's true. It was a hit job. Scott Pelley, very biased journalist.
So you must have some special feelings related to his firing from last week, right?
Well, it's, you know, so it's my second woke journalist that I'd like to say I've played a part in getting fired. I did go on Joy Reid's show around the issue of books as well, and she was fired shortly after my appearance there. So I'm hoping that by going and really, you know, making these woke journalists show their bias, that perhaps it's making people be fed up with them. So I hope I'm, you know, it's kind of a public service I'm doing now.
Hang on a second here. I don't want to be part of that pattern where I get fired, but I'm not a woke journalist, so I have that my advantage. But what do you remember about the 60 Minutes interview, kind of going in and the process and then what the finished product looked like, Tiffany?
Yeah, really funny. So, you know, all this talk of Scott Pelley, I've had a couple of people reach out for interviews. I just went back and reread the entire transcript. We filmed our own version of the interview, and then we actually had a transcript made from that. And so I wanted to remember exactly what it was that happened. He was fine outside of the interview. He was nice enough when he came in. He became extremely condescending and rude when we were doing the interview. And it became very obvious to me that really what he was trying to do was to marginalize us. He wanted to make us look like Looney Tune moms who, you know, he at one point he says, it's cut from the interview, he says, I don't think your name should be Moms for Liberty. I think it should be Moms for Telling Parents How to Raise Their Children or something. And so he was very condescending in the interview. And obviously, if anyone's seen the interview or some of the clips recently, you know, I'm reading from some of these books, and it's extremely graphic sexual content, Mark, right? I'm not going to repeat it now, but
no.
He sat there listening, and they cut it all. You know, they didn't show any of it. So.
It's ridiculous. It's the same thing that happens, and I know you've seen this across the country. Some caring parent will go up there to a school board and start reading this stuff, and the school board shuts them down because it's too embarrassing and it's adult content. And you're like, wait a second. And with 60 Minutes in particular, and this is what pisses me off with them, even the New York Times, when they do an article or they do a story about gender career, you know, Scott Pelley didn't put some slides in there about encouraging young kids, even younger than high school age, to engage in oral sex. And he didn't put the slides up there from some of these other books that have been controversial. They just wanted to slam you. They didn't want to offer any. I would have respect if he asked tough questions of you guys, and then turned around and asked some tough questions of some of the folks that are peddling this nonsense out there. I would have some respect for Scott Pelley, but that's not what happened. We know that.
No, that's not what happened. And so the only journalist that I've done an interview with, and we had done CBS Sunday Morning. We've done a number of different interviews on the books. The only journalist who ever showed any of the pages of the books, obviously blurring some things, was Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo. So I give him credit there in doing that. Yep. But you're right. You know, I love the Florida law that was passed that said that if you read the book at the school board meeting and it was stopped, you were stopped from reading it, it automatically had to be removed. from the school. So that was a wonderful way to hold school board members accountable for their delicate ears not being able to take the sexually explicit content, but still keeping in the library. So big win. Florida's done really well on this issue. Scott, at one point, also really interesting, I'm talking to him during the interview, and I was telling him that our moms have just, you know, had a lot of persecution, and they've been treated very badly by President Trump, who I love, says the fake news, because the fake news lies. And I was sharing that with him, and I was sharing some of the ramifications of the SPLC hate map designation. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, one of our moms had the FBI call them and question them. And he said, no, they didn't. And I said, I'm sorry. And he said, no, they don't do that. The FBI doesn't call people. And I said, I don't, what do you mean, Scott? Like, obviously you have no idea what you're talking about. And then I think at some point I just stopped arguing with him and just said, listen, I don't want to embarrass you, like you're wrong. But, you know, the FBI certainly did call one of our moms. So he presents himself as an expert. He was extremely rude and condescending during.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
In the interview, I say good riddance, good for Barry Weiss for firing Scott Pelley. And he had a producer who was equally biased. His name was Henry Schuster, and I hope he got fired too.
Look, the you bring something up, and I've talked about this for years because I've talked about media bias, but the people behind the scenes, the producers, the editors, the people making the calls, Bill Owens, who quit because he didn't think he could do his bias anymore. What's hilarious is, and I don't know, did you read the New York Times piece with Pelley? And what he said, I got some audio from that I'm going to share here. But he actually, this is really funny because this is the one that I put out there on Twitter. Here's a quote. And there's a subtle political bias that I've never seen at 60 Minutes or at CBS News before. And my response was, have you not watched your own show? I mean, for them, Tiffany, come on. For Scott Pelley or anyone at CBS to say something about that and political bias, and for people to, for one second, think that that's credible is unreal to me, that they have the cojones and the arrogance to do that. But I guess you sort of experienced that firsthand, didn't you?
Yeah, Scott lives in La La Land. He also likened being fired from CBS and some of the people being fired to losing your spouse, which, I mean, for anyone that's ever, you know, dealt with losing your spouse, how incredibly insulting is that? This is a job. People lose their jobs all the time, especially when they're insubordinate, which he obviously was and has been made very clear.
There's no doubt. Again, he didn't know. And then this, I'm going to play this somebody. He didn't know that he thought, I didn't know I was going to get fired. I didn't know I was risking getting fired. Really? He doesn't live in the real world. And a lot of these people don't live in the real world. The good news is, and I know this for a fact because I know some of the people behind the scenes, because unfortunately some of them went to school with me at the University of Missouri Journalism School, that a lot of those people behind the scenes have been rooted out as well. So I don't know what that really means in the end for the CBS News product. Again, I think some people out there on the left think that we're trying to turn this into, you know, like Breitbart or something like that. What a lot of us are asking for is simply fairness, right? Fairness in media. And you don't have that at 60 Minutes, unfortunately. And I think
you don't have
people
that.
Know that.
Yes. You know, and he asked a question. So you're right about asking good questions. One of the things that when he asked that question about what ideology are you concerned about, and then he asked me what parents were scared of, I wanted to answer the ideology question. If I could go back, I would answer it, and I would say Marxism, communism. There was a real question for us about whether or not in that interview we would be able to have enough time to be able to explain what we meant by that. And you have to remember when this interview took place, which was 2023, and people were still kind of wrapping their heads around what was happening with DEI and with critical race theory.
Absolutely.
Right? And so we were careful about how we handled that. And so that's why he was pushing with us. And so if I had to go back, I probably would have said it. I don't know how that would have changed the trajectory of the interview. What we really wanted people to know and understand was the fact that there was and continues to be, to a degree, a real effort to sexualize children. And that's bad. That's not something.
We have examples of it from libraries and from schools from the first week of Pride Week last week. And you're looking at some of these people that are dancing at drag shows. Do it if you're an adult, but don't do this to kids. It's outrageous. Somebody on Twitter said, well, isn't this sort of like the modern version of clowns? And I said, well, I went to Bozo Circus in Chicago when I was a kid, and no, Bozo might have been a little creepy, but there was no sexualization. So I think that that's the difference. Tiffany, thank you so much. Enjoy a sip of wine or something in celebration of the demise of Scott Pelley, and we'll have you back again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. Let me play this audio because I love this. Like, even the New York Times reporter is like, Scott, really? I mean, any respect that you, for those of you who have respect for Scott Pelley, and I've heard a lot of that, I'm like, guys, you don't really know the type of reporter that he is. But this should sort of tell you a lot right here.
Tell me about that meeting and if you were at that point going in expecting to be fired.
Oh, gosh, furthest thing from my mind. It hadn't occurred to me.
But it really didn't occur to you that you could be fired after so many of your colleagues had been let go, after you'd had this, very contentious interaction with your new boss?
You know, some reporter I turned out to be. I just didn't connect the dots.
I find that incredible that he didn't understand that the level of insubordination that he, 1 week ago today, you know, took part in, led the movement in that room, how he cannot believe that he was fired. Now, he talks about the bias here. We just gave you an example with Tiffany, and I could give you dozens of others, not only of Scott Pelley, but Bill Whitaker and the others at CBS, right? I mean, let's talk about the way he sucked up to Joe Biden in that report a couple years ago. It was all, you know, just fawning over him, making excuses for his deficiencies. So he doesn't even see the bias claims as legitimate.
What was the feeling about that particular opening salvo to the team?
Uh-oh. She, I am told, said something to the effect of, why do you think the country thinks you're biased? But she didn't offer any kind of a metric. You know, what's your metric? Why do you think so? Do you have a poll? Is there market research? What are you talking about? Because we certainly didn't believe that.
Oh, my God. That's how, I mean, that was not expected from me. I'm, by the way, I think he's lying. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing there and the type of journalistic malpractice that they take part in. It's not journalism, you know? And I've even admitted, like, Scott Pelley did a story a couple months ago about these hidden caves. I think they were in Vietnam. Really good reporting. It was good, right? But it's the politics where they're not good.
There's some moments of the day I feel fine. There are some moments of the day that I just frankly fall apart when I least expect it.
All right. I have no empathy for Scott Pelley, because if he's that ignorant about what they were doing at CBS and does not have any kind of, you know, comprehension of the level of bias that he was participating in, then he needs some, I think he needs some medical help, some mental help.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.